When you look at Central Illinois, you see some changing demographics. You've seen changes in the marketplace. You see changes with major employers. And that all relates to what's happening at the airport, as well as the continued consolidation of airlines and air service in the U.S. Recognizing that at this point, 86% of all domestic travel in the U.S. is carried by just four airlines. And that just in the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen 5, 6, 7 airlines go out of business. It's a supply and demand. It's free market forces that are setting up an equation where there are fewer airlines and fewer seats available, and of course greater competition for that. And that's part of the external influences that are impacting the travel at Central Illinois Regional Airport.
Is Bloomington Normal going to be a winner or loser long term, do you think?
Definitely going to be a winner. Definitely a survivor. We are a vibrant, aggressive competitor. We will continue to be a vibrant, aggressive competitor. But we have to also, at the same time, we have to be competitive in the changing marketplace. And we're addressing that by keeping our costs to the airlines very, very expressly competitive, very low, as low as we can possibly have them to be, expanding our marketing opportunities, expanding our interaction with the community, and reaching out with the airlines and partnering with the airlines to try to increase that service and increase the capacity. And what that means is exactly seats. How many seats are available per day, per week, per month? The higher the number of seats, more likelihood that you'll have lower fares, which helps attract more passengers, which grows your passenger count. So it really stems from increasing capacity. And our focus on that is twofold. One is to increase the service we have with our incumbent carriers, which is American and Delta and Allegiant, not only to increase destinations, but to increase the size of the aircraft, which we call upgauging, or also to increase the flight frequencies. In addition to growing organically, we look to attract new service, new entrants into the market. But it's important to note there are not a number of new airlines. There's no new airlines in existence. And there are very few airlines. When you look at those top four, we already have two of them.
Yeah, we're at a competitive disadvantage now over the last several years for passengers and also for fares because of that capacity issue that you mentioned. Are there any signs that that is going to move back to rough parity with our nearest competitors?
We are working on that. We're always working on that. We track the fares. It's important to note the Airport Authority has no input on fares or air service whatsoever. That's private market. That's set up by the airlines. But we do monitor the fares, and we do work with the airlines, and we do share with them, understanding that fares are set through computer algorithms, and they're adjusted automatically based on algorithms. They're no longer done by somebody sitting at a desk and doing it manually. And sometimes fares get overlooked. Sometimes fare increases or fare adjustments get missed by the algorithm. So Central Illinois Regional Airport, we monitor that, we get that data, we share it with the airlines, and again, we're looking to have parity. And there are swings in that in both directions. As all, we're going through a phase where at a point in time where we might have less competitive fares, and that might swing in our favor this summer. And again, it's something that's always monitored. It's something that's always discussed with the airline.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Carl Olson, the director of the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington. Absent particular passenger airline coverage advantages, some airports are choosing to be niches. Some like to be freight hubs. Some like to be feeding into certain other larger hubs. What is our destiny?
Our destiny is to continue to be vibrant and aggressive and competitive. And I understand the niche concept. We have the advantage of our geographic location the airport sits in the center of the second largest population concentration in the state after Chicago Metroland, with 1.8 million residents within 90 miles of CIRA. And of course, we are at the crosshairs of many interstates. So we are geographically, we have a competitive advantage over other airports. We also have a strong, vibrant market and economy, which allows us to compete on different fields. Air service is one of them. You know, we've been able to increase Delta service to Atlanta with mainline Boeing aircraft. We've been able to increase our Dallas service to large regional jets. Allegiant has upgraded to Airbuses on some of the Florida flights for more seats. So we are having some success, but it's not coming in big leaps and bounds as it did formerly. But in addition to air service, we have air cargo. We were able to attract a second FedEx facility a few years ago, and they're doing very well. That was a $5 million public-private partnership that brought 40 new jobs to the community. Corporate aviation is doing very well at the airport. We have three general aviation service providers that employ dozens and dozens of people. So we're not just going to be a one-niche shop.
You had mentioned, though, a FedEx presence. You mentioned the road network. Should we shoot for more freight identity?
That is one of the objectives of the Airport Authority, understanding the same kind of consolidation that's taking place in the airline industry and every other industry is also at air cargo. So there are not a lot of choices in terms of the number of air cargo operators that there used to be domestically, but those opportunities for the add-on positions, the freight forwarding, the trucking, the consolidation, less than full load opportunities that intermodally tie in with rail and highway and air cargo. And those are opportunities the Airport Authority is looking at right now.
So who should you be? Is it Amazon? Is it UPS to go with FedEx? Is it Walmart?
I think they obviously, all those companies fall on everybody's list. I mean, they're the major players. They have the highest name recognition. So obviously they fall on everybody's list.
Soccer fields have been an issue for at least the last 15 years. There is an effort to go to Washington in the One Voice trip to explore the potential of a Trump administration emphasis on deregulation to perhaps get a waiver. Is that something you think is likely to happen?
It's too soon to tell, and we appreciate the conversation. We appreciate the interaction and the engagement between the Airport Authority and congressional officials, the community, and the FAA. I think there's really three overarching ideas that are going to be tied into any solution that frame any conversation. And the first one, obviously, is the Airport Authority respects and appreciates the value that the PCSL and the recreational soccer facilities play in the community, the important role. They've been very good stewards of airport property going back to 1992, and we understand the importance of that. We're now on, the third, fourth generation of soccer players, and the Airport Authority Board respects that. Also have to understand that what was considered compatible land use for aviation safety and public safety 25 years ago has evolved. You know, formerly that facility was almost a mile to the closest runway. It is now less than 500 feet to the primary runway. And those are considerations, the safety considerations that the board is taking into consideration when they have their discussions and deliberations and trying to decide what the next steps could be. Lastly, it's important to also recognize that property was purchased using Federal Aviation Airport funds for aviation purposes. And while the FAA does allow the temporary use of airport property, aeronautical property, for recreational use, it is temporary. So those are three of the themes that are going to be built into the conversation.
To the public, it's going to look, though, like you have all this other development nearby and even closer to the runway that is on private land. So what's the difference between development on private land and development on airport property, even if it came with FAA use? Why can't there be a waiver?
Well, that's a good question. The reason is, and you already hit on it, the reason is that is Airport Authority property that was purchased for aeronautical purposes using federal aeronautical funds. Program for aviation use. And that's the discerning difference in this case.
You're a part of the community in addition to the head of an institution that has to interact with a federal bureaucracy. What do you have to be in this conversation? Can you be a pusher for looser boundaries, or do you have to be a rule follower? What side of the advocacy question do you have to fall on?
I don't think it's that black and white. I think it's a case where we have an obligation to support the community, to support all components of the community, because that's what we exist for. We exist to serve the community, whether it's owning and operating their airport or supporting the growth and prosperity and quality of life in the community. At the same time, that has to be conducted and completed in a way that allows us to maintain safety first and foremost, as well as compliance with all of our federal obligations and statutory requirements. It's a decision the board's going to make. They're collecting information from the town of Normal and the Sports Commission and families, as well as from airport staff, legal counsel, concerns that the FAA might have. And in the end, they're going to have a more detailed conversation and build on what they've already started. And at that time, when more information is available, a decision will be made. I don't know what or when that decision is going to occur, but it will be the good decision.
This is a risky question because you don't obviously want to get out ahead of your board, the body that employs you, but what do you think ought to happen? Should there be a waiver? How aggressive should the local community be? Or should you hew to the line of the rules are there for safety reasons?
Well, that's a very fair question, and I'm going to have one foot on either side of the line. My job and the job of Airport Authority staff is to highlight all the pros and all the possible cons, to share those facts with the board, to answer any questions they might have with respect to the data they need to make the decision, and then to administer the decision that they make.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Carl Olson is the director of the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington. The Airport Authority is also beginning a conversation about expanding the tax base to the entire county and not just to the Bloomington-Normal area. What's the background for the start of that conversation?
The impetus for this conversation started following the 2013 sequestration with the federal government. If you go back to 2013, we received notice that the federal government was going to cancel our traffic control contract with 30 days notice as a part of cost-cutting and sequestration at the time. As a result of that and the devastating effects that would have on the airport and the community, the Airport Authority took the unprecedented step of actually filing suit against the FAA in federal court. And ultimately, at the end of that conversation, our airport, along with 242 other contract tower airports in the United States, prevailed, and contract tower funding was restored, and has been restored on an annual basis since that time. However, what happened is that created such consternation with the Airport Authority because of what it would do to our budget. It would simply collapse our budget, or we would lose that service. There was no winning there. Caused the Airport Authority Board to have some strategic meetings to try to identify what alternative revenue sources could be identified that would not be contingent upon federal and state governmental action, that would be more stable and more independent, so that in the event something like this were to reoccur, we would have a stronger tool in our toolbox to manage that situation. And that's exactly how we arrived at this point now, is looking at what other airports have done in the state. Peoria County, DuPage County, and Crawford County, they were successfully able to work through the legislature to increase the boundaries of their jurisdiction to the county end rather than just the city of Bloomington and the town of Normal, which creates a stronger, more stable, diverse property tax base that allows the Airport Authority the greater strength and vitality in the event that that's needed.
What would happen to tax rates outside of Bloomington Normal were that to come to pass?
Current estimates that we have in-house suggest that if a resident lived in the city of Bloomington or the town of Normal, they would experience an annual $20 reduction in their property taxes to the Airport Authority per $150,000 of assessed value. So if you had a $300,000 property or home, they would see a $40 reduction in their property taxes to the Airport Authority.
And the rural
areas.
Conversely,
for residents outside the city limits of Bloomington and Normal who are currently not paying a tax to the Airport Authority, they would see a new tax of approximately $48 to $50 per year per $150,000 of assessed value.
So the idea then is to spread the current expenses over a broader tax base, lowering the existing tax rate for people who are already paying, but then you have a reserve to raise the rate in the event of loss of federal funds.
That's correct. When you look at the Trump administration's new budget blueprint, which I'm sure you're quite familiar with, it proposes eliminating the FAA from the air traffic control industry and privatizing it, which again opens the door to this cancellation of contract tower programs. If for the Airport Authority to assume that contract and pay that cost, we're looking at excess of $600,000 a year. We're also looking at the potential of canceling TSA grants for law enforcement officers at the checkpoint. That's in excess of $85,000 per year. So with the stroke of a pen, you're looking at seeing $700,000 plus dropped onto an operating fund that simply can't sustain that. It would crush that budget. Or we would have to allow those services to evaporate and no longer be present, which means the airport wouldn't be as viable, it wouldn't be as vibrant, it wouldn't be as competitive.
And it rolls downhill because you still have bonds to pay off for the construction
exactly.
of the new facility.
Now, what's interesting, one of the side components is when you look at the employment, when you look at the Airport Authority as an economic generator for the community and how it supports the economic growth of the community. According to DOT studies, the most recent study, there are 400 direct jobs created by the airport, not just the Airport Authority, but all the companies at the airport. And then in turn, supporting another 900 indirect jobs and 250 jobs related to tourism. So you're up over 1,500 jobs. They have an annual payroll of over $45 million. And the airport contributes $180 million a year in economic output positively into the community. What's interesting is that economic output and that payroll doesn't stop at the city limits for Bloomington and Normal. A review of some of our statistics in terms of who has badges to work on the airfield, which is a majority but not the complete number of airport employees, shows that 41% of all airport employees live outside Bloomington Normal in rural McLean County. So convert, you would then be able to take that out and say 40% of that $45 million payroll is supports households in rural McLean County. 40% of that $180 million economic output supports households and communities in rural McLean County. So it is a reasonable conversation. It's an important conversation to have.